talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art, 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 go kick some art.
No, my hider, my Tina Kiki Toy, and welcome to Kick Art. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. On the show tonight, we're talking theatre and productions happening here in Tamaki Makaurau. But to kick it off, on the first day of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, here is 660 with Pepeha.
Ko mana tōku mana, ko aroha te moana, ko whānau tōku waka, ko au e tū atu nei.
Thank you, 660, for Pepeha. Well, it's another week. I'm here by myself. Well, by myself as a host, but not by myself because I've got people in studio with me tonight. But before I cross to them, very quickly, I thought I'd let you know that I saw two shows this week. So I went down to Wellington for the night to see Colour in Light, which is the Te Awaha graduation show. Now, before I get too much on my bandwagon, I have to say it's extremely disappointing when you see all these amazing students from first, second and third year and the government decides to close their course down. I mean, who lets someone enrol and then pulls the wool out from underneath them or the carpet, maybe the red carpet, or maybe they just put the curtain down if we want to be all punny about it. But really good to hear that so many of the first and second years have applied for courses elsewhere and are doing well. But man, It was an amazing performance. I hope as many people in Ponicky got along and had a watch and, you know, get in and see the whole venue before it shuts down and becomes a supermarket. I mean, for crying out loud. But anyway, let's change that subject because my bandwagon's a little bit hot. I also went to the opening night of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert on Friday night. It was very exciting to wear some sparkles. It was so cool to see people like Anita Wiglet playing the main lead, and Jason Parker, who of course was on New Zealand's Pop Stars a few years ago and is a NASD grad, and to have Andrew Allen back in New Zealand after his time in America. So do get along and check it out. It is a fabulous night out. Now, joining me in studio, I have three amazing Wahine here, making sure you're all turned down, because every single week lately, the listeners know, I always forget to turn the microphones on our first guests. So, kia ora, team.
Kia ora. Kia ora.
So, we'll start at this end with Miss Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very well. Thanks for having us back on the show, Emma.
I am absolutely adoring your purple dinosaur earrings.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. They're very popular, and my flatmate constantly informs me that they are, in fact, not dinosaurs, but a dinosaur-adjacent type of animal that came before dinosaurs, the name of which I cannot retain in my mind because I don't know enough about dinosaurs to remember it.
A dinosaur-adjacent.
Apparently there was something before dinosaur. I don't know enough about the ancient beings of the days of yore to know.
Okay.
But I just thought we should all know.
I think it's an important thing to know, especially because they're currently going backwards as well.
They're walking back to the past when people remembered their name.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. And sitting next to you, we have Izzy. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
And this is your first time on Kick Arts?
Yes, it is my first time. Thank you for having me.
And am I picking up a bit of an accent?
Yes, it is a British accent. I'm ashamed to say.
You don't need to be ashamed of your lovely voice, is it?
Oh, thank you, Rebecca.
And joining these two, we have Frankie.
Hello.
Who has been on the show before.
I have.
But not for a while.
No, not for a while. I've been around, you know. I've been busy. I've just come back from Australia, actually.
Performing?
Yeah, today. Performing in a theatre and education show for the last 3 months.
Oh, fantastic. What show was it?
I was working for a company called Meerkat Productions. Shout out Meerkat. And we were doing two books for their Children's Book Award books. So we brought two books that were nominated or finalists this year and turned them into shows. And they were like really beautiful books. And it was really such an honour to perform in them, to be honest.
They weren't about kangaroos or koalas or anything?
No. The first book was called The Garden of Broken Things by Freya Blackwood, which is a stunningly beautiful picture book. And then the other one is called Small Acts by Kate Gordon and Kate Foster, which is about two autistic preteens trying to be kind to the world around them.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Oh, stunningly so beautiful, awesome. Yeah. Highly recommend both of those books, yeah.
And did you have a part in the devising of the performances?
We got brought into the process in the blocking phases, but it's got like musical songs and choreography and puppets, so it's pretty highly developed by the time we entered, but it was such a cool process to come in and kind of have our take on the characters and how we think they might move around the space or how we would perform the songs and all that sort of stuff. So that was pretty incredible. And I mean, we added in little jokes with our directors in the room that would always make the kids laugh. And it's funny how performing in theatre and education, every day you walk in, your audience is completely different, but it's the same show. Mm. And they're right in front of you. There's no lights. There's nothing to protect you. So you have to really be looking at them and really listening to them and really aware of what they like today and what they're not so keen on today.
Very cool.
It helps you it's kind of like improvising, really.
Yeah, it is,
to,
really.
Yeah, you need to change your tone a little bit. It's not like a regular theatre show where you can kind of just, like, this is my theatre show. Oh, today the audience wasn't so happy. It's like, no, no, my job is to keep them with me and engaged.
So, yeah.
And you're no stranger to theatre and education because you've been a big part of it here the last few years as well with Ugly Shakespeare Company and different things.
Yeah, I've done Ugly Shakespeare. I've done Duffy. I was a tutor and a regular actor for Tim Bray Theatre Company. So, yeah, I think I love children's theatre. I'm such an advocate for making theatre that is intelligent and accessible to kids. Yeah, and I think that's why I love theatre and education, because what's more accessible than going to them and performing for them?
Yeah. Or having them come to you at the Pump House.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
How was that for a good segue?
That was beautiful.
I mean, It's Alive is definitely theatre and education, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole show is like, how do we combine science with theatre? So it's education about both of those things. Mm. Yeah.
So where did the passion for science come from? Was that something that you had a love of to make you create this?
Well, the show accidentally kind of has a lot to do with my personal life, but it was actually Frankie's whole invention, the whole show. But it just so happens that me acting, playing a scientist whose mum is a famous scientist and trying to live up to her, happens to be my personal life. shout out, mum.
Yeah.
But Frankie's, the whole show was Frankie's creation, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a... We'd actually just finished teaching a Zoom theatre sports lesson, Rebecca and I.
Well, yes, because it was 2021, I think, when you came up with the idea.
And we were sitting after having, taught theatre sports, and I was like, Rebecca, I've just had the best idea for a show. And I was like, what if we did a fully improvised children's show with puppets and also fire? And Rebecca was like... Absolutely not. And like, as we kept going, we kept pitching it, and I was like, but what if it was like Frankenstein's monster? And we said, it's alive. And then the puppet appeared, and then we started talking about the idea of science. And yeah, lo and behold, Rebecca slowly, over a number of weeks, was gently convinced.
Coerced.
We got there with our health and safety and our planning, and it was an idea I could approve of.
Because fifth season?
This is the second season only for It's Alive.
Oh, I thought you'd done It's Alive a couple of times at the factory. Had you only done it once?
Just once.
We performed it, I think, three or four times in that week.
It was a big season, but just the one season.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know it works.
We do. Yeah.
Hence, and so is it very different from that first outing then?
It is different in the sense that
it's bigger this time.
Yeah, the chemistry's bigger, the puppets are bigger.
There's not just fire.
There's no fire.
Okay.
I was told no, also by the Pump House. Apparently it's a heritage site.
We're working with, Frankie directing is working more with our scientist who's helping to design the experiments. So we defer to the scientist for what we're allowed to do as well.
Yeah, our scientist is also, shout out to Celia Crossan, is also a high school science teacher at Mount Albert Grammar and has written an education pack to go along with the show. So just
fantastic.
Talking about, so all of the experiments have been designed so that you could do an at-home version of the experiment. I know, right?
That is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always remember my favourite... I hated science, by the way, but I loved it. I think it was year 9 or year 10. We always had the lesson where we made hokey pokey.
Oh, yeah. That's a good lesson.
Like, I think it's a staple New Zealand.
Yes,
I love that Izzy's going...
Well, so my mother's from here, so I have fond memories of things through my mother, but I never got to learn how to make hokey pokey at school.
Didn't you the one year that you went to high school in New Zealand, didn't you learn that?
No, they missed it off that year, unfortunately.
I mean, it's not hard, but I am surprised that we were allowed to do it in a science classroom, because heated up golden syrup,
that's actually quite dangerous.
It's actually quite hot.
Yeah.
And especially when you throw in the baking soda in, yeah, and the next second the boiling hot sugar erupts everywhere.
Yeah. Maybe there's so much pushing of Hokey Pokey as a Kiwiana national pride thing, so that they can't remove it from the curriculum, because it's national pride. We know this experiment's quite dangerous, but it's the national experiment, it's the Kiwi way.
Well, and it was one of those things that once you learn how to do it, I remember going home because I would be a home child. Mum didn't come home from work till 5 o'clock, so I'd have an hour or so at home to do things make hokey pokey on my own, turn the stove on and have a sweet treat.
I love that. I remember also not liking science, which is ironic that we've made an entire show about it, and I remember hearing something about fridges being cold, and I went home and I touched the back of the fridge and got my fingers stuck, and then I had to call my sister to pour hot water on it to melt my fingers off. And I remember going in the next day and my science teacher was like, do you remember that I said not to touch it? And I was like, I remember you saying something about touching it. And so
I touched it.
Yeah, I think you obviously retained more than I did.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so when the kids come to see this show, because I'm assuming that it's pitched predominantly for children.
Yeah, it's for ages 5 and up. And we're saying sort of primary and intermediate kids are the main target market for the show. It is improv, so every day the show will be different, and it will be for the audience that is there. So I imagine some shows we're going to get a younger, mostly younger kids. Sometimes we might get mostly older kids. We don't know.
Yeah. Exciting. Yeah. I think that's very cool. So are they kind of in the experiments anyway, or is it all totally, there's a Perspex screen and there's protection and...
Yeah, no, they get to... So the experiments are the only part of the show for safety reasons that are pre-measured, for obvious reasons. Mm. But how we get into the experiments, how we justify the experiment occurring, what happens in the experiment from the point of it happening is all improvised, including some of the colours, because we've got colours going in. That's decided by the audience, and colours will correspond to things that will happen later in the show.
Oh.
So, yeah, the whole show is really... It's like the kids get to shout out what they want to have happen, and that will happen in the show. And the last time we did it, I can reveal this experiment because we're not doing it again this time, but the second experiment was slime, that we had to make slime, and every day the way we made slime would be slightly different. And then one day this kid in the audience was like, well, you need to make slime. And I distinctly remember Rebecca and Dylan, who's our other actor, saying, oh, how do we do that? And the child listed off all of the ingredients that we needed, and we brought all of the ingredients out, and then they talked to you guys through how to make the slime.
Just this random kid had no idea we were gonna do that anyway.
It was so amazing.
And you just happened to have a box of borax.
I think at that point the parents laughed, clued in. But the point is to make them feel 100% like their opinion is valid, and that they can shout out at us and that we will respond. Because I think that's one of my favourite tropes about children's theatre, is that they get to be interactive and they get to shout out he's behind you, and the actor turns around what? Yeah.
I love it. Now, Izzy, are you in It's Alive and the other one that we haven't talked about yet?
I know, I'm just connected with the other one that we haven't spoken about yet.
Oh, maybe we should jump over to at least introduce it, because there might be some things to weave together there. So, Izzy, do you want to tell us what the other show is that improvised? Did I get it right?
You got it perfect.
It's always one of those names, we always have fun with it. So tell us about the other show that involves magical underground locations and mythical creatures. Oh, did I just say it? Almost.
You almost got it. Can I get an underground location and a mythical creature? Which is our D&D format. This is the one that we've been doing for, how many years has it been now?
Since 2019.
2019, so 6 years, yes. And so I came in the second run of it when Frankie was directing it, and then this year Frankie has handed over the reins very trustfully. And the D&D format is essentially, it's like the role-playing game D&D, but we bring it to life on the stage. And I think sort of people are starting to get a bit familiar with watching people play tabletop games online and stuff like that, where people sit around a table and they talk through their adventures and roll dice. But what's really fun about our format is that it comes to life and people perform it. So we start with the people around the table playing the game, and then we have some dice that the audience roll to get the different sort of characters in the quest story, and then we go into the sort of fantastical world, and everybody gets to come along on the adventure with us.
That's so cool. Are they like mega dice? Are they huge? Or are they the small D&D dice?
We have the largest dice that the Dungeon Master can hold while also being able to do the show, is the answer to that question.
We have been through a few dice. I remember in the first couple of iterations, we handmade these little cardboard dice, and they kept getting stepped on by the Dungeon Master, funnily enough, and flattened halfway through the show. Then we had a second version of that dice that occasionally got thrown at audience members. I think a few years ago we upgraded to a rubber large dice.
A nice foam one, so that if you get hit in the head, you're fine.
It happens more than you'd want.
Wouldn't foam, though, not roll this quite the same?
It's a good dice. It's
nice and bouncy.
Yeah, good. I don't know. It's well made. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be biased. It lands pretty well.
Yeah.
And how many players on stage do we have in that show?
Izzy, you're our director. How many players are on stage?
So we have three people in the quest party who are going on the adventure. We have two people who are sort of coming in and being different characters that they meet along the way. And then we also have our dungeon master who sort of controls the play and is the mastermind behind the different characters in the story and stuff like that. And this year, for the first time, Rebecca is taking on the dungeon master role for two of the shows.
First time hearing about it.
Surprise.
So tell me, how do you, because obviously it's improvised as well and it depends what throws up, so what does a rehearsal look like for an improvised show?
There's many ways to answer this. You want to answer this, Rebecca?
One of my favourite metaphors is that doing improv is more like doing sports than doing a theatre show. Because when you're doing a theatre show or, like, I don't know, rehearsing for any kind of scripted performance, you practice exactly what you're going to do. But if you're doing sports, then when you're rehearsing, when you're rehearsing for sports, but you meet up to practice the skills that you need to do the best that you can on the day, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen on the day, even though you know the format. Like, we're going to be playing soccer and we're going to practice the skills we need to be good at soccer, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So these formats are kind of like, we know we're playing this show with these rules, and we're practicing the skills that we need, but we can't, even though we run runs of the show, we can't predict exactly what will happen. Sports.
I love that you were able to connect to sports. I think that's great. I think there would be a lot of parents out there that need to hear that theatre is similar to sports.
It is like sports.
And not as less important.
No.
Definitely not. I would also, like, the other thing I would say is, in rehearsals, when you have a troupe together, you know, so much of getting into those shows and being able to enjoy the experience on stage is really, like, getting to know each other and getting to know the kind of things that different people find fun. I know that if I go on stage with Rebecca in a scene and start a pirate scene, Rebecca is going to be delighted. And so that's like, you have these little things that you know about each other that you can give each other as gifts in the show.
I could see on your face that you were going to say that.
Arr, matey. a lot of the rehearsals as well is like hanging out and getting to know each other and sort of get, like, learning each other's cues a little bit and the types of things that we can give to each other and support each other on stage to make sure everyone's having a fun time. It's very team oriented.
I think, like, the more, like, the other way to say exactly that is, we're trying to work out what each other's definitive skill set is, and then how you complement that as a performer. And I think that's always the best part about working with different improvisers, is you're like, oh, I know this about myself as an improviser, and I've just learnt this about you, and I can see what we need to do to make this scene the best it can be, which is always hilarious.
Mm.
Like, it's so much fun to do improv rehearsals. They're just so joyful.
Great. Well, we're going to take a very quick music break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about your aunt's journeys and how you got into improv. So this is Anna Coddington with Purianae. Turn myself on. There you go. So busy turning everyone else on, I hadn't turned me on. It's such a good waiata, that one. And there's nothing like a good waiata. I don't know what it is. It just hits the soul somehow. But anyway, back to talking about improvisation. That's really good. Not English. So, Rebecca, take us back many years. What made you decide that you wanted to be an improviser rather than a scripted actor, preference wise?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I did both of them in school, but I think, I don't know, improv, you get to connect with people a lot more. So I think I did both probably equally in school, and then in uni when I joined Improverished, it was like, oh, this is such a lovely group of people. This is such a fun time. It's also kind of easier to schedule your life around improv. Like, I have improv, like, meet up every week on this day. We practice. These are my friends hanging out. Whereas if you're doing, like theatre and stuff, you gotta wait, you gotta see when there's a good play, you gotta audition, you gotta get in.
You gotta go three times a week.
Go 3 times a week for 2 months and then it's over. So improv is kind of like, you can keep doing it, and it's kind of more social in that way. Mm. I think that's appealing to me. Yeah.
If you had to give a bit of advice to a young person maybe looking at it and thinking, oh, this is a bit scary. I mean, I remember when I got introduced to improvisation, I thought it was quite scary. That whole, I had a teacher that did the whole make us look away and then we would turn around and have to react to whatever was in front of us. And it was always like, what happens if I've got nothing to say when I turn around?
Oh, no.
Well, what happens if I don't like what I turn around and see? So
what would you say to a young person about maybe going and trying theatre sports at school or doing improvisation?
I think it's like the best thing you could possibly do in school. I mean, any area or situation that you're going to find yourself in, if you have the confidence to like believe in yourself that you can say something, that you can solve a problem, I think it just gives you so many conversational skills. And I think it gives you the confidence that if you're in a situation where you don't feel maybe prepared or you're confused or it's new, that you can deal with that because you've practiced dealing with unknown situations at improv. So it makes you better at improv for drama, but also just like life is improv.
Yeah. There you go, parents listening again. Not only is it like a sports thing, Rebecca has also told you that it's a life skill.
It's a life skill.
We're absolutely giving parents lessons here. Okay, Izzy, how did you get into improvisation?
Yeah, so I had performed through school and uni, but always scripted stuff. And then after uni, I worked in the film industry back in the UK on sets in the assistant director's department, which is all like logistics and organisation and everything like that. And I just needed something that wasn't scheduled like the military, like a film. I was looking to do a bit more performance and decided to give improv a crack because it felt like it would be fun and spontaneous and meet new people. And it was the same thing. I got in there. It was a great group of people. I think when you first go into an improv class, because everybody has that feeling of like, oh God, it's scary that I'm going to get up there and I'm going to have to just come up with something. Like everybody is feeling that together. And that is something that brings people together so quickly. And it's obviously just silly and joyous and playful. And how often do we get to do that as grown-ups?
Yeah, very cool. Frankie?
Yeah, I remember being in Year 7. Rebecca's giggling. Because when I was in Year 7, I can't remember who or how, but somebody was like, there's theatre sports. And I was like, oh, I love drama. I'm going to go do theatre sports. I remember walking in and Rebecca was the tutor high school. I think you would have been year 12,
I was the year 10 student leader.
Oh, sorry. Rebecca was indeed the year 10 student leader.
She just felt a lot older.
This is my extreme maturity and wisdom.
They've got an old soul. I loved it. And I loved like meeting Rebecca and working. And I just like fell in love with it. And it was like me and my other little friend, I think it was like Tuesday lunchtime, we'd go to theatre sports. I remember we were the only year sevens. And then I found out years later from my drama teacher that actually the year sevens and eights weren't meant to be in theatre sports. But she thought it was so cute that we kept coming, that she let us stay. She was like, it's quite wholesome that these two little year sevens keep coming to theatre sports. So, like, we'll let them stay. We weren't allowed to perform in the competitions or anything because we were too young.
We used to call you the little year seven. Your friend was the other one.
I love it. But look at what it did for you, Frankie, because you stayed and, you know, then in year 12 and 13, you were a student leader and you were in the groups that did get through to the national finals. Auckland finals.
We were sort of the New Zealand champions. No,
Auckland finals.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I don't think we even were. But I think that was the thing, was I realised how much fun it was to perform. Mm. And it was so much fun. I think especially going to a girls' school, being able to be an ugly performer and getting to go on stage and be like, I can be anything in the scene. I'm not restricted by the parts in a script written for teenage girls. Mm. And it was, I think that was just like a channel into being any character that you ever wanted to be right here on a stage for 2 minutes only, and then you never talk about it ever again or it's gone forever. And then after school, I just wanted to keep doing improvising, so I also joined Improvrished, and then
you've both been TYP tutors as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Still tutoring for TYP.
Sharing the joy,
which is also, I think, the best part is now going back in and doing more TYP stuff. For me, I feel like theatre sports, I always akin it to like the place where the kids who don't do the musicals or they didn't get into the musicals get to have a space. Mm. And that's what I think it is forever. It's that space where everybody is welcome always. And I think there's very few places where that is the case. And I think with improv, it's if you walk in that door, then you're welcome to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now with Improvished.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, is that like a same group of people all the time? Or when you're putting on a show, do you go out and have auditions? Or how do you get to be a part of this cool group?
What a great question. Well, in our proud 10-year history, it's our 10-year anniversary
this year. That's
yeah.
So cool. So it's been 10 years. Well, it's been 5 years that I've been struggling with the name.
Yeah. We were sort of underground for the first 5 years.
Well, 5 years, because we've only been doing kick-outs for 5 years. Oh, Before that, it would have been Richard struggling with the name.
Yeah. Yes. It's a constant struggle for everyone. We've been a few different kind of versions over the past 10 years. Initially, this kind of call went out to uni students, like, do you want to join this new improv group? And you had to do this, like, application form. And I was not the leader of the group at that point. Obviously, I didn't start the group, so I don't know what the selection process was like. But we would meet up once a week. I was there at the first rehearsal, and Jed, who was also in our group, was there like probably from the third or the fourth one. But originally it was kind of like, from that point, there was like anyone could come along, uni students. When I kind of ended up in charge, I wanted it to be really open and anyone could come along. Kind of over the pandemic time, everything kind of had to change a little bit. We were online for like 2 years, which was so nice to just be able to see everyone on Zoom once a week and be silly. Mm-hmm. And when we came back, it was kind of hard to get people along to this all-comers thing once a week. So we made the decision to become this like set group just based on everyone who was in there at the time. And we started hosting a once-a-month open workshop. So it's almost 2 years now that we've been doing the once-a-month open workshop. And we've invited 3 people so far to join the group, just based on like people who've been coming to the open workshops quite a lot, people who were kind of vibing with us. And it's such a cool community now that we have our like group and we have the open workshop, which includes a lot of people who come every month, and they're like forming their own little friendships as well. They have their own like little group chat and everything, so it feels very cool that we don't, like, we can expand the community in kind of a more sustainable way that way. Yeah, it feels very cool to be able to do that.
And it's neat too, because it's like you're like, they're, you know, there's somewhere to go.
Yes.
Like, if you keep coming regularly to those gigs, you might get the shoulder tap one day to say, do you want to be in one of our shows? You know, like, that must be quite exciting for them to kind of know that that could be a thing as well.
Yeah, I feel like we want that to be exciting, and I also want them to feel empowered to be like, you also don't need us. Like, we're here to help introduce you to improv, and also you can take what we've given you and go and be free. You can form your own improv group. You can join us.
Go and do their own little show that you can help them through. That's cool.
Yeah. We just want everyone to feel like they can do improv and they don't have to ask anyone's permission to do it.
Yeah. Very cool. So, you know, you've done a lot of things at the factory. How are you finding being at the pump house? Obviously, I know you've been part of the pump house because you're a timbrayer.
Yeah.
So you're used to being there, but...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm so happy to be back, and I'm really honoured, to be honest, to be doing a, like, children's theatre show at the pump house right now. And I am really happy to be back there working because it's such a cool space and it's beautiful. I mean, it's a great place to go to work every day.
Except when it's raining and you can't get a car park in the bottom car park and you've got to run from up on the street.
And you've got to change your car park every 2 hours. But there's something really, I think, because what was the first show we did at the pump house? Was it in the Coal Bunker? Was that the first show we did? That would have been a few years ago now.
We've done a few improv shows in the Coal Bunker. We've done Can I Get an Underground Location and a Mythical Creature. Yeah. We did Random Fairy Tale Generator. Yeah. Our students from our course just had their graduation show in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Coal Bunker is such a great space for like a small improv show. And now we get to do a big improv show.
That's really exciting.
Big auditorium.
Very cool.
It's a different space because it's so much bigger and doing improv in a big space is hard because we are naturally inclined to stick together on stage. You feel a little less vulnerable that way. Mm. And so it feels much more theatrical. You really have to be aware of your spacing and how much space you can use. You have to be much louder. Mm. The first show I think we did on the main stage was Can I Get an Underground Location and a Mythical Creature 2 years ago for the
Last year for
Auckland Pride, we did a one-off special show. And it was...
It was so fun. I just remembered we also did the COVID like fundraiser, Save the Pump House show.
Oh,
we did a set.
Did.
Yeah.
Mm. What year was that?
Was that 2020?
Or 21.
Or 21?
I think it was 20.
Or if it was to save it, maybe it was 22. Maybe it was the year after.
It was, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, we love the Pump House. They're so such a good team.
Oh, I love working there too, yeah.
And just generally really helpful. Mm. I think that's the thing we've realised is even though we've been going a long time, we've been making quite a few shows, there's a lot about making theatre that goes on behind the scenes that we're still learning each time we put a show on. Mm. And they have been nothing but supportive.
Awesome.
And super helpful trying to get us on our feet so that we can... get the shows on and also just get tickets sold because I think it's hard. That's the only downside of being in such a big space is that it's much harder to get people to come and see it.
So shout out to Mark, Meg, Mags, James, Tash. I think there's most of them.
You got the core.
The main core. Yeah. All right, so we're coming to the end of our interview. It's business end. So... the first show is It's Alive, which is on...
the 23rd to the 27th of September at 3 p.m. every day at the Pump House.
And you can get your tickets from...
pumphouse.co.nz.
Fantastic. And then following up, kind of on top and very close behind, is Can I Have an Underground Location and a Mythical Creature, which is on...
the 25th to the 28th of September, which is kind of like moving around a little bit. It's usually in the night after It's Alive. Mm-hmm. We have a special, it's an all-ages show, but we have a
special... you've got an adults performance.
Adults
only
performance.
That's the one I
is
get
that like
to
naughty
in.
At 8:40?
Yeah. It's at 9 p.m.
So it's almost naughty at 8:40.
Yeah. On the Saturday, and we have our relaxed performance, which is a matinee on the Sunday. So we got something for everybody with that show.
That's very cool. And again, that's tickets at pumphouse.co.nz. Well, we wish you guys all the best for your two seasons. It's always exciting to hear what's happening and to see you all. So keep in touch. Let us know what's happening next. What is happening next?
Quickly, It's Alive is actually going to the New Zealand Improv Festival in Wellington immediately the week after.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Ooh. So we're immediately taking the show on tour. It's hitting the road. We're going and we're performing on the Friday at 3 o'clock at Bats in the main one.
Very cool. That's very exciting. How cool to take it on the road.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let us know how it goes so we can talk about how it went. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much for having us.
No worries at all. Now, we are going to a music break while we swap over with our team. And this is Aja with E Ua E T Ua.
Fuck up, amara o que maia fia queria e tava lá te rolou.
Was playing. We had a bit of a crazy changeover in the studio, and now we've gone from three in the studio to five. Crikey. So we're joined by, first of all, from AUT's Performing Arts Sherlock Holmes production, Melissa and Georgia. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Hi,
kia ora.
And then from Geronimo Musicals, Anastasia the Musical Youth Edition, we've got Matthew, Izzy and Emma.
Hello.
Hi.
So let's start over here with Sherlock Holmes. Georgia, what a fantastic show to get to direct.
I know. It's really exciting. It's my first time directing, so this is like such an awesome project to be starting out with, and it's been just a total blast so far.
So AUT Performing Arts.
Yes.
So is there a course at AUT in Performing Arts?
Not exactly. AUT Performing Arts is a drama club, basically.
Right.
It was founded a little over 5 years ago, and mm-hmm. we're just totally extracurricular. I think AUT doesn't actually have a dedicated acting program.
No, that's why I was a bit confused.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, what is this?
We're filling the gap, giving a place for AUT students to do theatre, which is very cool.
And how did you get to be the director?
Oh, Well, I wanted to direct. I'm also on the executive committee for AUT Performing Arts. So at the top of every year, we let everyone on the committee pitch shows and say if they want to direct it or if they want to produce it or that kind of stuff. And I pitched Sherlock and I was like, I would love to direct this. I think it'd be so fun. And everyone else agreed. So I've had the whole exec team backing me with getting this off the ground and getting it started.
How cool. Yeah. And Melissa, yes. How even better to be a female playing Sherlock Holmes.
I know. Whoa.
Revolutionary.
I know. So, did you know that it was going to be a female when you set out, or was it because the auditions, that's how the cookie crumbled?
We did gender blind casting. So I had all the roles in the cast open to actors of any gender auditioning for anything. And Melissa ended up being the best of the candidates who auditioned for Sherlock. I just thought that she was exactly everything that I was looking for. Like, I kind of had my heart set on having a female Sherlock. Mm-hmm. In the back of my mind, I had this little secret special hope that, like, the right person would come along. And Melissa just came into the room and she was fantastic. And I was just like, oh my gosh, we've got it. This is great.
Very cool. Yeah. Melissa, give me three adjectives that describe Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Brilliant, eccentric, cocaine. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, that's fine. So tell me, what's the biggest challenge playing such an infamous role?
Oh my gosh, I think it is such a huge, I don't know, responsibility even, like just playing an iconic character, especially when Sherlock Holmes has been portrayed as usually an old white man. And I think just trying to not be that masculine figure and just be like, try to bring myself out was a bit hard in the beginning, because I was like, okay, I have to play Sherlock Holmes. I have to be like masculine. I have to be, moody and all that. So I think it's all about like just playing.
Yeah.
And the more I played on the, with the cast members and with Georgia's directions and her encouragements, I think I brought more of myself into the role.
Have you been watching, I'm just trying to remember the name of the show that Lucy Lawless is doing that's on Channel 1 at the moment about murder. It's a mini series where she's solving mystery murders and things.
Is it a whodunit?
It's kind of like a whodunit, yeah.
But I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and Lucy Lawless is the main kind of cop detective.
Yes.
Like, she would be quite cool to watch to maybe, you know, get that vibe off.
No, I've watched her 100%. Yeah. Mm. I didn't quite use her as an inspiration, but she's definitely someone that I've sort of captured a little bit like that. Like, quirky, but also, like, still a woman. You know? She's still feminine in her own ways.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, now going down the line, someone playing a infamous character as well, really. So, Emma, tell us a little bit about playing Anastasia.
Yes, so she is a very strong-minded and confident character, and it's very important to dive into that emotional depth, obviously, because it's such a emotional story.
So getting this role with the songs that she has to sing, what was that like for you? Like, was it a big screen moment, or what was it?
Yes, it is. It has been a dream role of mine for a while, like as long as I can remember. And her songs are very challenging, so it's definitely hard to step into that, but it's been great.
Awesome. Now, Matthew, tell us, what role are you playing in this production? Because the last thing you did, of course, you were a director. Now you're...
Well, I'm still kind of directing. I'm the assistant director for it, but I've had to step in as the understudy for Dimitri.
Understudy or alternate?
Well, I'm doing one show for it, but that's
so does that mean you're an alternate? If you're doing a show?
Sure. Yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of confusion these days between what is an understudy versus a swing versus an alternate. Because they are different things.
Well, I'd say I'm probably more of a swing. Like, today I played Vlad, and the other day I played Gleb. So I seem to be doing all of them at the moment, but yeah.
Cool. And what do you prefer these days, being on stage and performing or being in, like, that director's hot scene?
That's tough. I love both, to be honest. I don't know. I think when I do directing for a while, I go, oh, I want to be back on stage. And then when I'm on stage, I'm like, oh, I'd love to be behind the scenes.
Mm.
But I think it's been great doing both, because you really get to see how much effort people put in behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But probably my love still goes to performing, I think, maybe, at the end of the day. Yeah.
Cool. And then we've got Izzy with us as well. And what's your role in this production?
I play the Dowager Empress, which is Anastasia's grandmother. But I also am the costume designer and the social media person.
So does Anastasia know that you're her grandmother?
She believes I am her grandmother, which basically throughout the show, she discovers that she is Anastasia and gets a lot of her memories back. And then she fully believes I'm her grandmother and that she's the Royal Duchess of Russia and convinces me that she is.
Okay. And being the costume designer for something like this, which is a period piece, what's the biggest challenge been?
Probably, actually, just because it's a youth edition show, the quick changes from the Russian, quite like cold, poor revolution time to like happy, wealth, and uplifting spirit of Paris when they get to Paris. So the big changes between that and the royal, like, gala gown dresses to, you know, back to Russia. That's quite a challenge to get everyone, such a big cast, changing backstage and rushing on stage to get.
So have you got a quick change team backstage?
We didn't have them in today, but yes, we're getting a team together. It's quite a lot of quick changes.
Yeah, and younger people, sometimes I think the younger ones, I'm not talking about, your 18 and 19 year olds.
A lot of questions.
But, well, also, I think that younger ones don't actually realise what hustle means sometimes.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
And they keep asking questions between, while I'm also trying to get on stage for myself, which is great, but it's better after the show, I think.
Yeah.
Is, Sherlock Holmes set in now or in the period that it was first?
We've kept it in 1899, which is when the play is originally set, but we've not really married ourselves to those kinds of ideas. Like, obviously we have a female Sherlock prancing around doing Sherlock things. We have a gay marriage as a significant part of the show. One of the other characters was gender blind cast as well, and she ended up being played by a woman. So we've had this really significant plot point of these two characters getting married happen to be two women. And our costumes aren't 100% period accurate. The way I've been describing it is that we've been using the sort of Bridgerton ideology, where we're using the silhouettes and the general ideas and the cool parts of that era, but we're not really marrying ourselves to these like drab colors or really like modest designs. We're sort of adding a little bit of flair, which I think has given the show a really unique identity, and it still lets us keep all the best parts of it being set in the Victorian era, but also playing around with some more modern elements and ideas.
I think that's what's cool about costuming, though, when you can kind of pick up, well, it's like any concept, not just the costuming, it's the whole show concept, isn't it? Being able to go, right, well, what can we do within our budget or within our stage space? Because whereabouts are you guys performing Sherlock Holmes?
We're in the Factory Theatre in Onehunga, which is beautiful space. It's great. They've been lovely.
But it's not without its issues.
Yeah, it's not without its limitations.
So trying to get on and off stage. Emma performed there in a show that we did last year with Legally Blonde. And so, creating
Blonde in that venue would be interesting.
Yeah, we created exits and entrances to be able to get back out into the foyer without going through the audience and different things,
Yeah, no, it's great. It really encourages you to be creative. Especially the way that they let you adjust the stage setup in Factory with the flats and everything. We've managed to utilize that quite creatively. I think we've got like two separate parts of the stage where one is slightly up and one is slightly down, and they're two separate locations. So it's a lovely venue.
It's a great venue. And are you guys back at Sacred Heart?
Yes, back at Sacred, yes.
You guys are so lucky to have that relationship.
We are
with
very
them.
Lucky. Well, our boss, well, yes, I went to Sacred Heart, and our boss works there as well. So we really just have a really strong connection and with the staff, and they're so lovely.
And that stage space is it's quite a decent size as well, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah, we're very lucky. The side of the stage, I don't know.
Because you're doing Friday and Saturday, but you've got three performances on Saturday.
Three on Saturday and one on Friday, yes.
11, 3 and I think 6. 7, 3, 11, 3.
Crazy. So does that mean that you're able to, because of course Sacred Heart is a working school, so does that affect you in regards to what you're allowed to leave in the space
I was going to say, like today, we had to pack out the whole theatre because, well, when I was at school, we had a little bit of an issue with some people taking things because they look cool, which is fair enough. Like, I think I had a gun prop in one of my plays at school and that obviously disappeared. So, yes, we have to clear it away. Also, because there's a show on Thursday as well, I think, there or something. There's some kind of performance that we have to,
be
pack
cleared.
Out
wow.
and pack in. So every day we have to pack in and pack out. So, but
the joys of theatre, though, isn't it? But,
oh,
you know,
sure,
like having... I suppose it's that compromise of being in such a good space with its big screen and all those kind of things that you get versus having to pack in and pack out.
Yes, yeah.
So as actors, do you have to be involved in the packing in and packing out?
Well, I'm sure some of the ensemble have to pack up their individual items and put them in bags. But that's about it. We have to put all their bags away. Apart from us, we're very close.
I do help.
So Emma often stays back and help. I definitely have to help because
you're the costume person.
I'm the costume person. So,
so you've got to make sure everything's done.
Make your job easier.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have Joanne.
Yes, Joanne Curtis, Matthew's mother.
So, and does it mean that we've got lots of bootloads of stuff being carted round?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. No, my car was packed.
Yeah,
there's no space in there.
Now, if Stephen was here, he'd be telling you about the first show I ever did with him, where we had to build the stage using pallets.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had to unpack it and pack it in every single show and stack it up and then put... Oh, it was crazy. And we'd be there till quite late at night stacking it all out and then next morning come and stack it all back in. That was in the good old days at Blockhouse Bay Community Centre.
Well, that sounds a lot harder than what we're doing, sir.
Well, you've still got to pack up cars and things, though, don't you? So, going back to Sherlock Holmes... tell us about the rest of the cast. How many are on stage in this?
We've got 9 cast members total, and they're all fantastic, and I would do anything for them.
Love them.
They're amazing.
Yes.
This cast in particular, I feel like the energy is just so good. You guys get along so well. We have a little group chat, and after every rehearsal, we've got 2 cast members who make memes about the show and then send them to everybody else. And it's just, it's fantastic. And it's this wonderful ensemble cast of, like, all the classic characters from the canon. You know, you've got Irene Adler, you've got Moriarty, you've got Watson, and then some extra little, like, villains and side characters as well played by the other cast members.
I think we just have a really good natural synergy. And we did some improv exercises in the beginning, and all of us are just, like, so to get, like, connected out of nowhere. Yeah, it was really cool. It's really cool to be a part of this. Mm. Yeah.
So as a first-time director, what's your biggest challenge been?
Ooh, people getting sick. Oh. Yeah, that was something I didn't plan for, but people being away from rehearsals, I'm like, oh, all of my plans have to change now because this person that I was going to work with isn't here. And 9, I think, in the grand scheme of things, is a small cast. And during our blocking phase, we'd have maybe 4 or 5 people in rehearsal at most, usually only 2 or 3. So I've gotten quite good at thinking on the fly, I think. And I've learned a lot from this experience. I've learned, like, got a whole list of things that I'm like, I'm going to tell this to anyone who's planning on directing. This is what you should do so you don't have to experience what I experienced with, like, just winging it, flying by the seat of your pants.
And I'm sure it's the same with you. Have you had a rehearsal with a full cast yet?
Probably not.
I think we're doing better than the last show we did 2 weeks ago. That I don't think anyone showed up till 2 weeks before the show. Rising Stars,
Rising
Star
Productions.
Yeah, we struggled with that one. But I think we've been better with this. I think it's more people like Vlad was sick. He's been quite sick, and we're hoping he can come back for the show. But as I've always said, it's much better to get sick now and not during the show. So.
Well, I think, too, the difference is now. Like, if we went back to pre-COVID, you would show up to rehearsal sick because, you know, that whole the show must go on. And, gosh, I remember being a director and telling students, unless you're dead, you better be here type thing, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
But you think about it, like, how many people came to rehearsal sick and probably made the rest of the cast sick? So now that we're so much more prone to going, no, I'm going to stay at home because I'm sick, as much as it's hard as a director to deal with, in some ways it's probably actually a blessing because they don't pass the illness on.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, Emma, let's talk a little bit more about your role. What's been the hardest thing that you've had to do with this?
Definitely the songs. They are very demanding for the voice, especially doing multiple runs.
But your character's doubled, right? So you've got an alternate.
But sometimes I'll do two runs and then she'll do one and then I'll do two runs again. It's, yeah, but it's very demanding on the voice. But yeah.
Your favourite song?
Probably Once Upon a December. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. Yeah.
And have you seen this performed or have you just seen the movie?
No, I've just seen the movie. Yeah.
So let's cross to Izzy. Tell me, what do you hope that people that come to see it will be saying as they leave?
Well, I'm hoping they'll say, like, the singing is amazing, especially in Stay I Pray You. The harmonies are just so, they just hit you, like, exactly where you want it to. It sounds amazing. And I'm hoping, well, it's quite hard to watch because I'm on stage, but I'm, from what I've seen, the dancers look great as well. I'm hoping it's just all together, like, visually impressive as well, hopefully, because costumes, of course.
So who's the rest of your team, Matthew?
The rest, so Jess Walker is the choreographer, and then Kerry, her husband, they created the company Geronimo a long time ago now, and so Kerry's doing all the tech and the screens he's made, the train's got it all, like the train's going and you've got the scenery behind moving, it's amazing, so he's doing all the tech for us, and then Sam Crichton's the director, and then he's also the production manager for the whole thing. And
musical direction.
Musical director, yeah. No, he really, he said to me, because obviously I did the, directed the last show that we did, and he said to me he wanted to give it a go, and he's, I've been just so proud of him. He's done such an incredible job. Like, the amount he's taken on is incredible. He's done a really good job, and the reason he's not here now is because he's still rehearsing while we're here. Yeah. Literally, I think they've just finished.
They're
6 minutes ago.
Crazy. Because it's been quite a big step up for you and Sam this year, because, of course, you have taken over running the Geronimo Musical Theatre Programme.
Yes, yeah. Well, we took over Kelly and Craig. Big shoes to fill. But it's been incredible seeing how much the kids are progressing. And we also take the musical theatre classes as well. So we take the juniors, and then there's intermediates and seniors. But especially with the juniors, and well, actually all of them, it's just been amazing seeing how much they progress, and it shows with, well, it's nice to teach everything I've learnt to them. It's, and it's cool to see me reflected in them, I guess, a little bit.
So what is the age range in this production?
For this production, it goes from, I think, about 13 to, who's the oldest? 18. Oh, it's me, 19. Oh. Yeah.
Because it's a youth edition.
Well, it's a youth edition. Yeah. So technically you can have, with the rights, you can have some people over 18, but the majority of the cast has to be under 18.
How many of the kids knew the Anastasia story?
I don't think any of them really did. Yeah, it was quite new to them, but they are all just loving. I think the music especially, they love the music. But I don't think many of the kids had any idea what Anastasia was. So it's a bit of a risk choosing it, but I think it's paying off. It's beautiful.
So have you had some history lessons in your rehearsals?
From Sam, yeah. Sam loves it. Yep. Sam loves all the history behind it.
Obsessed
so, yes.
With history.
Well, I think you need it, though. It's a bit like you've obviously had to do research into Sherlock Holmes. I mean, there is such a historical reference behind it. And even going back to the time that it's set and being able to understand the geographic, the context, the social climate, all of those things are so important.
Yes, 100%. Like, I think we had to, well, I had to do my research of, oh, how would Sherlock, like, stand? How did people stand back then? How did they bow? How did people sit? You know, what are the greetings? Like, things like that.
Mm.
Yeah. The best part about being an actor is the research part.
And how much research did you do prior to, or probably still doing?
Yeah.
Not as much as I should have, if I'm being 100% honest. I've done my minimum, where I've read the first couple stories and the last couple stories in the whole play. But to be honest, I'm not super well versed on the 1800s. But we're playing pretty fast and loose with the rules from that time.
Yeah. Hey, it's a Bridgerton version.
Yeah, and honestly,
it's a Sherlock Bridgerton version. It's
and with
fine.
How obsessed you guys are with it, you're doing all the research for me. Like, you'll come into rehearsal and be like, did you know this about Sherlock Holmes? And I'm like, I did not.
Yes, yes.
Very cool. Now, let's take a quick music break. This is Corella and Te Matatini with Kua Kotahi Ra. Of course, we're celebrating Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori this week, so I encourage you all sometime during rehearsals this week, maybe just try and weave a little bit of reo, maybe some kupu in there, even if it's just saying morena or
tenakwe or something, just to kind of put it out there. It's one of those mystic things that the more we do it, the easier it becomes. Now, we're going to go down the line and hear a little bit about where things came from or began for you. So where did your passion for theatre come from, Georgia?
Ooh, that's always such a difficult question because it's just been such a part, like a massive part of my life for so long. Like I came into the world, I lived here for 5 years and then something happened and I'm like, oh, I want to do theatre. yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff. Like I did NCA drama, I did performance.net, like yep. extracurricular program. Mm-hmm. That was what really got me into it. I was with the Auckland Theatre Company's youth company last year. That was what really got me hooked on theatre because it's just such a awesome environment to be in, working with the Auckland Theatre Company and all that mahi that's going on over there. It's fantastic. And then AGPA, when I got into uni, I joined that right away and I've just been like with the club ever since, you know?
Awesome. Yeah. Melissa, tell us.
Well, I've always been a creative, so I've always been a freelance painter. I paint. I have a degree in 3D animation. I've been dancing for a long time. But then I've actually only started acting 2 years ago. And the idea came out of nowhere, and then I've never loved anything more than that. And so now I've just been going, like, auditioning for anything and everything, and the fact that I landed this role, Sherlock Holmes, I didn't even audition for the role because I didn't think I would get it, you know, because I didn't think I look the part, whatever. So yeah, I just love it so much, more than anything.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Give us the abridged version, Emma, because otherwise we'll be here forever.
Okay, so I used to dance and do little performances in my living room in front of my parents and my brothers, and my first ever show was at the age of 5, was Alice in Wonderland, and ever since then I've just loved what I do. I love musical theatre. Recently I went to America for the Kiwi All-Stars, and that was such a cool experience, and yeah, I just really love it.
And this is what you're hoping to continue doing?
Absolutely.
Very cool. That was a very shortened, abridged version. Very good. And, of course, your mother's busy with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, at the moment at the Civic as well, backstage as assistant stage manager. Very cool. All right. Izzy?
Well, I really hoped I was one of those kids that, you know, your parents put you into it so you can improve so much so over the years, and then you're so amazing when you're 18. But, no, I was really – I'm definitely a science person. Until 2 years ago as well, where I did a show at Sacred Heart through my high school, and I've just loved it ever since then, really. I've done
was
show
that We
after
Will
show.
Rock You?
Yeah, that was We Will Rock You. I loved that show so much. It was just amazing. And then after that, I was like, wow, I don't like science as much as I thought I did, and I really love performing. So I don't think there's been a big gap where I haven't been doing a show. They're like quite back to back, but it's really good.
Very cool. Matthew?
Well, when I was younger, I guess I did singing when I lived in England. And then I came here and I was very much sports. Didn't think I'd ever do anything like this. And then when I was 11, my mum was like, oh, you can sing. You should join this show. And I think I cried. Didn't want to do it at all. Thought it was embarrassing. Signed up and then my first show was Oliver. And then from then on, I think it's the best decision I've ever made. I absolutely love it. Mm. Love it. I couldn't live without theatre, to be honest. It's just incredible. I've done so many shows now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And now, of course, you've got your own theatre company.
Yes, yeah.
So what was the impetus behind setting up Rising Stars Productions?
Well, Hugo and I were away on this trip with some other people, and then we were kind of sat together and we're like, man, I just want to put on something myself. I don't know. And then we found The Trail to Oregon, which was the first show we did, and we just went, this is amazing. And so it was a little bit impulsive, to be honest. We just suddenly went, oh, we're going to do it. And then I kind of just assumed, like most things, it's like, oh, we'll do it, and then you don't do it. But Hugo was so keen, and I guess I was really keen, so we just made Rising Stars. And
you've just done your
third show.
Third show.
The ABC's Cabaret, which was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm still tired from that anyway, but...
And this is the thing, like, what are you guys doing during the day, during all these rehearsals? Are you studying or working, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm studying. I'm in my third year of a Bachelor of Design, majoring in animation. So when I'm not working on my capstone project, I'm working on this show, and I do not get as much sleep as I should. Mm. But there's nothing I'd rather be doing. Like, I do it because I love it, and I spend all my time on it because I don't want to be doing anything else.
Yeah.
Melissa, what do you do during the day?
I'm working full-time. I work at an art gallery, actually. So I'm basically living the life of being surrounded by art 24/7, and honestly, living the life... It is exhausting, though. Mm. Not going to lie, especially this week. But, yeah. Yeah.
Emma, what are you doing at the moment?
Well, I'm actually on a gap year, so I'm working as much as possible, but obviously with rehearsals, there's limitations to that, so it's a little bit difficult, but I'm trying my best, yeah.
Cool, and you're not only in this show at the moment, you're also rehearsing for
The
Wedding Singer, and you were just in Rising Stars, so you were doing three shows at the same time, because you're crazy. Izzy, what about you? What do you do during the day?
Oh, well... My holidays just ended, but tomorrow I go back to university, and I'm a physics major.
Cool. Okay.
Really.
And Matthew?
I'm also at uni, second year. I do commerce and arts, and then I've got two jobs. Used to be three. And then I was also doing three shows before, but anyway, yeah.
I don't know what it is with creative people. We just seem to be very good at loading up and always being busy. Yeah, craziness. Yep. All right, well, business end of the interview because the night is almost done. So let's start with Sherlock Holmes. Where can people find out more, get tickets, when is it on?
Yes, people can get tickets from iTicket, lovely ticket platform. You just look up Sherlock Holmes on there, AET Performing Arts Sherlock Holmes, AETPA Sherlock Holmes. It'll most likely come up. If you can't find it, just use our name. Our show is on from the 25th to the 27th of September at the Factory Theatre in Onehunga. Shows start at 7:30 p.m. You can also find us on Instagram at AUT_performing_arts. We post a lot of awesome stuff on there, mostly relating to the show at the moment because it's our baby.
Awesome. And the Factory is such a good theatre when it comes to, it's got car parking, which is free.
Yeah.
It's literally just across the road from Onehunga train station, and really easy to get to no matter which way you're coming down that back airport motorway.
No reason not to go.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. And who's doing the business end for you guys?
Oh, I'll be doing it. The best way to find tickets is to go onto our Instagram, which is Geronimo Musicals, and you can go into our bio, and there's a link tree there. You can click on it, and it will take you to... There's very clearly Anastasia tickets, and you can click on that. Our shows are this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Three on Saturday, one on Friday.
Crazy. So, Emma, are you doing... You don't have to do all three shows on Saturday, though?
No, I'm just doing one of them on Saturday and one on Friday.
Friday. So you've yet to rest a little bit, and depending on illness, you may be in every show, Matthew.
Hopefully not, but yeah. Well, I will be doing backing singing the whole time, and then I've got one show at 3 o'clock on Saturday to give the other Dimitri a break.
Crazy. Well, two very cool shows to get along to. So that was four shows we've discussed tonight. Crazy. Auckland City is definitely very busy at the moment with lots on, so do get along and make sure you get entertained somehow. You know, I know in this weather it's actually quite easy to just stay at home and watch TV, but get along and see some live theatre. It's a bit of a challenge to get out there. I'm just thinking about what's happening next week for me. What is happening next week? I'm travelling down to Tauranga to see Stephen's show. So Jersey Boys has opened and is going very well down there. And then on Saturday, I'm going over to Rotorua to the MTNZ Zone 2 meeting. So it's a busy, busy time. And of course, it's the last week of term. So I'm sure that lots of students won't show up this week to lessons because they'll be finishing assessments and things. School holidays is going to be crazy. We've got Sister Act Junior, the New Zealand premiere of Sister Act Junior, happening down in Queenstown. And then in the second week of the holidays up here, we've got the Double Bill. Stephen and I have got the Big 1-0 and Newsies Junior. So check them out if you're looking for something fun to take to your kids to during the holidays. Now, I noticed before, have you guys heard of the theatre list
Yes, yeah.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
No,
please,
you guys
please
haven't?
Explain.
I haven't. Yeah, do tell.
Please.
So the Theatre List was started earlier in the year by James, who is the manager at the Pump House, and it's a free theatre listing for shows in Tamaki Makaurau. Oh. And so you can email in to hello@thetheatrelist.com and have your show listed, and it comes out every Sunday night. And so it's telling us that this week Mother's Play is on with Silo Theatre, happening at Q Theatre. Skits and Giggles Volume 4 from Covert Theatre is on in Ponsonby. The Rabbit Hole is on with Howick Little Theatre in Pakaranga. Te Pō Theatre have their Kohanga Festival happening. Laying the Ghost is on in Birkenhead, and coming soon. Oh, look at this, the second one on the list. So It's Alive, who we talked to earlier, Sherlock Holmes is on. Can I Get an Underground Location and a Mythical Creature is on, who we talked to earlier. The Aristocats Kids and Guys and Dolls Junior with Northern School of Performing Arts up in Orewa. Oh, the Big One O Junior and Disney's Newsies Junior from Stage Antics and Kids for Drama. The Atom Room at the Dolphin Theatre. Stones in His Pockets on Waiheke. Oh my goodness, so much happening. And those ones are slightly later. So we're already got listed their shows in October and November. So if you don't know about the Theatre List, subscribe to get it in your inbox, or make sure you list your things there. But more importantly, if you've got an event happening, or you're releasing some new music, Kick Arts wants to know about it. info@kickarts.org.nz, so you can come on like these wonderful people have on a Sunday night and talk to us about your arts journey and what you're doing. So all the best to all of you for your seasons upcoming, and make sure you stay in touch with Kick Arts and let us know what's happening. Both of their shows are listed on our What's On page, which is on kickarts.org.nz. Now, I'm going to take a breath. So we're going to close the show in the same fashion that we started. As I've said, you know, we're celebrating our language this week. So we are going out with Matariki Hunga Nui, Calling Me Home. I hope you go out there and kick some arts.
Talk about the stars in the sky,
shining on the year that's gone by,
lighting up a path in the night.
Looking at my heart, sister and my brother, nga munga me nga awa, kina me nga pawa.
Oh, the stars that I know, Father, oh, they keep calling me home.
Ora ia te aroha. It's a new year, your vodka, me, a month, I get you, I'm new, we call. Sister and my brother,
call it
me, I'm not here to meet them all.
teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some R, R, R. Go kick some R, R, R. Go kick some R, R, R. Good night. The eating